Thank you so much for reading that text today. Like I said, my name is Brolin Rosequist. Forgive me if I sound a little hoarse, but the Lord is good at keeping me humble when it comes to my voice. So let me have a sip real quick. You know, when I was growing up, do you guys remember commercials from when you were growing up? I remember a lot of them, and one of the commercials that always stood out to me were the Burger King commercials. Not because I liked Burger King, I actually just despised Burger King because they lied to me. They lied to me because they would be flipping a burger and it would look amazing. Then it would hit this grill and the flames would just whoosh, come around it. And it was this amazing looking burger. And then you get to see this burger with like the ultimate freshest tomato and lettuce. And then they would give a statement that would follow. And they'd say, at Burger King, you can what? Have it your way. You know, that was nice. I like that idea. But like, it's funny how a simple burger chain can get something about culture and grab it and say, this is it. Because what did they assess? We all want it our way, right? We want to choose the burger that we eat. We want to choose the music that we're listening to. So we listen to Spotify rather than go through the radio stations and try to find that one song that comes on every like hour, you know, or else too, even with TV, right? We have Netflix and all those things. We used to have to like flick through the channels just to find a show that we like. And usually it wasn't a show that we liked. It's just a show that we wanted to put up with. Today we can have it our way. But when it comes to Burger King and other things, it's a good thing to have it our way. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not good to choose your own way. But that's confusing, isn't it? There's so many voices out there that are trying to pull us their way. The way of politics have tried to pull us in different ways. The way of influencers, whether they be social media influencers or podcasts, they're all trying to vie for our attention, and they're all trying to tell us, go this way. Even the way of morality, something that we as believers seem to have, like, we thought, hey, we've got this. But now, even when it comes to morality, there's so many ways to choose. Not to mention the way of popularity. And we all know what that's like, right? To decide to go, whether to go with this crowd or that crowd. You can probably think of 10 other ways that are promoted. There's just so many voices in our world. Which do we choose? Which way is the right way? Well, I have good news for you today. Jesus has the answer. Amen. And Jesus is not just, doesn't only have the answer, but he's going to give us the answer. And so today, if you don't remember anything else than this, I want you to remember, choose the kingdom way. Choose the kingdom way. And so this morning, we're going to look at three kingdom choices. Three kingdom choices. There's going to be a choice of pathway, a choice of voice, and a choice of obedience. So before we get into the text today, let me just pray for us as we get in there, and we will get started. Father, you are so kind to us to allow us to see your goodness and truth in the way that you do things, God. We're so thankful that you're a God that does not just leave us to our own choices, but you give us the right choice. You've given us the answer to the question. You've given us the idea of the way to walk and to walk in your way. And so, God, we ask today that you would help us receive this message and put it in, not just hear it, but put it into use. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be in Matthew 7, as Angel read today, but just for some context, as we enter this text, we are nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been going through a series for a while now in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has been sharing it with us that the disciples' way of life should be one of internal alignment with God, rather than the Pharisaical way of living, which is looks like external obedience to God, and yet no internal transformation. So as Jesus begins to land the plane of the Sermon on the Mount, he gives his disciples three choices that will lead them on the way of the kingdom. So first, we're going to look at the choice of pathways. The first kingdom choice is the choice of pathways. So if you look with me at verse 13, it says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." And so here what we see is there the first choice, the first option of choices is option A, the path of destruction. There's a path of destruction. And Jesus in this text, you're going to see him weigh two options all throughout this text. And it's important for us to recognize that these two paths that Jesus is talking about here, the path to destruction, or this, as we're going to talk about later, the path of life, the idea of presenting two paths is not new information for the Jewish listener. You see, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." You see, even when Moses, the prophet Moses was writing, God offered these two choices. And then in Jeremiah 21:8, he says, "Furthermore, tell the people, this is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death." So what Jesus is doing is he's bringing a familiar motif back up with the people so that they can be thinking about, okay, which way should I go? Because this has been the problem that they've been trying to figure out for the whole existence of the people of God. And so let's see what he says about this path of destruction. He says, first off, that this is a wide road and it's very broad in nature and it's really easy to go down, right? This path of destruction is characterized by how many people go down and how broad it is. It brought to mind this, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, the Shibuya Crossing. The Shibuya Crossing is in Tokyo, Japan, and it is a crosswalk that is wild to me because at any given time, every 90 seconds, over 3,000 people are crossing this road. It is, and somehow within this 90 seconds, there's little to no traffic jams. People are able to go because there's like four or five crosswalks that you can go through, and everybody's choosing to use the crosswalk, not the crosswalk. It is so broad that everybody, as they go to their gate at the Shibuya train station or as they leave the Shibuya train station, it is with relative ease that they can walk this path. And you see, the architects of this crossway built it in a way where everyone would conform to the system of the crosswalk. You see, culture, in much the same way, has built a broad path for us to walk on and a broad path for us to conform to. It starts with simple things like fashion. There's a way of fashion that you got to fit into. There's a way of morality according to our culture that you must live in. And even when it comes to spirituality, they say, there's many ways to God. There's many ways to enlightenment. There's many ways. And as you hear the many ways conversation, what you recognize quickly is that this is the way of destruction. So that means for us, what does that mean for us as disciples, as believers? Well, Jesus told us not to go down this path because it ends in destruction. For those who would consider themselves a disciple, somebody who's put their faith in Jesus, the ease of the broad way is not the kingdom way. So I want to just take a moment to think, is your life conformed to the easy broad way of the culture around you? Or is it conformed to the way of Jesus? And actually, what does the way of Jesus look like? What does this choice, the second choice that we have, this option B, look like? Option B is this path to life. Look at me, look with me at verse 14. It says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Isn't that sobering for us? This is an interesting passage because the narrow way in the original language comes up this way. I'm going to read from a scholar. He says this: when the word narrow comes up, the word means pressure. And in Matthew, it is used for suffering that is related either to persecution or eschatological or end times turmoil to proceed at the end. And thus, the term we speak about is persecution, and we should expect persecution for the way that leads to life. You see, excuse me, as we choose to walk the way of life, it's not going to be a road that is easy. It's going to be a road marked with difficulty. If the Shibuya train station crossing is found with thousands of people, the path of Jesus, and notice the difference between road and path. He says this path, this road leads to life. Think of it like a hiking trail. And that's the difference we're talking about. The ease of the Shibuya train station crossing versus a hiking trail where if there's only a few people on it still, you're still going to be bumping into people. There's still going to be things that are potentially looking out to hurt you along the way of a hiking trail. There's potential roadblocks that could potentially hurt you. But can I encourage you for a second, church?
Yes.
I want you to think about this. Jesus is the one who blazed that trail. Think about this. He is the one who decided to go down the persecution first. He was the one who took on perfection and walked the perfect life for us. He walked the full way. As a matter of fact, his end, the end of him, was death on a cross. But this text says this road leads to life. So if Jesus died on the cross, there must be something greater. And we know the story, don't we? That's why we wait for Easter Sunday. Because we know that the resurrection is coming, that there's a day when the persecution is going to be over. There's going to be a time when our lives are that have been marked with that walking the way of obedience with God has changed us and transformed us into his image. And we know that our life will not end with death. It will end with eternal life. You see, the path is not a hiking trail. The path is a person. The path is a person. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's Jesus speaking. Jesus is the way. So, what is it that we should do as a result of this? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Today, choose the path that leads to life. Choose Jesus. If you're here and you know that you've been walking the path of destruction for a long time, and maybe you've even been coming to church and kind of conforming to the ways of Christianity, and yet you've chose to live a life that conforms to this world, let me encourage you, today is the day to choose Jesus. And if you choose Jesus today and walk in his path and walk in his way, whether the road is easy or hard, it will be marked with life and everlasting life. So can I tell you today, don't conform to this world. Choose the kingdom way. And that is the path to life. So if this first kingdom choice is the choice of pathways, either the path of destruction or the path to life, what's the second kingdom choice? The second kingdom choice is the choice of voice. The choice of voice. And before I get into this text, I just want to clarify what we're talking about here, because it's important, because there's voices that are influential in our world, isn't there? You can turn on the TV and find somebody to influence you. You can listen to music and allow that music to influence you. There's a number of ways where you can be influenced. And it's all through listening. And Jesus has a warning for us as we come in. And so the first thing, as we look at this warning, the first thing we should recognize is unhealthy voices bear bad fruit. Unhealthy voices bear bad fruit. Verse 15 says this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Keep that in your mind. "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." So Jesus begins with a warning. Now, I know how many elementary school kids are in here today? Can I see your hands real quick? Yeah, come on. I'm so glad you're here today with us, and I'm so pumped that I get to preach to you guys today. The first thing that Jesus says is to watch out. And you know what he says? What he means by that? It means, watch out. You're looking out for somebody, right? You're looking out for danger. You're looking out for trouble. And kids, there's a lot of trouble out in this world. There's a lot of people. And so we've got to be able to determine, when are we in trouble and when are we safe? And so watch this. Jesus says it. He warns against these guys who are false prophets. Now let's clarify real quick. What's a prophet? A prophet was someone who was the mouthpiece of God to the people. So all throughout the Old Testament, you had these prophets that spoke for God. Excuse me for a moment. And these prophets played an integral role in God communicating to the people what God wanted to do. These prophets were an important piece. Now, what we see here is that also, even though there was good prophets, there were what, kids? If there's good prophets, there must be bad prophets, right? And there's prophets who talk like they're good prophets, prophets that talk like they know what they're talking about. And yet, this says, there's wolves in sheep's clothing. They're looking to destroy you. Here, what I want you to see is that Jesus is speaking of religious leaders who put on a harmless front to deceive their followers, but whose real interest was their own profit. Sheep they may appear to be, but their inward character indicates that they will always be wolves who try to further their own interests at the expense of those of the flock. Here's what you need to see. For a prophet who's talking and saying, this is what God says, The best way to figure out whether they're a true or false prophet is by the fruit that they bear. And let me just even simplify it real quick. Conduct reveals character. Conduct reveals character. And so if there's somebody that is acting as an influential voice, what's the first thing that we should do? Watch out. So kids, what is the first thing that we should do? Put on your goggles and watch out, right? For false prophets, because they are looking to hurt you, not help you. So you got to be listening to voices that honor God, that are looking for God. But these unhealthy voices say things like, it's okay, you won't get in trouble with God. It's okay to go this path. Adults, we hear those voices all the time, don't we? What are the podcasts are you listening to? Are they pointing you towards Jesus? What about the voices that you're listening to on TV? Are they helping you be like Christ? And is their fruit something where their character and their conduct align? It's an important thing for us to recognize, because the thing about wolves is they're out to kill you. Can we just be that honest? Wolves are out to kill you. So beware of these wolves, and these unhealthy voices bear bad fruit. So watch their conduct. And here's the reality: to choose Jesus is to reject worldly influencers, even if they appear spiritual. Even if they appear like they've got it all together. Even if they are saying, thus saith the Lord. The kind of people we want to go for are people like our second option, option B. Healthy voices bear good fruit. So verse 17 says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A good prophet is one whose lifestyle often looks like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. If you can think about and there's plenty of songs, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? If you know that song, you already have what you need to see if these prophets are good prophets. If the people that are influencing you, can I be real? As you listen to me, as you listen to Barry, you should see our fruits, knowing that we're sinful. We're gonna mess things up for sure. But does our conduct line up with our character? You should be watching out for this. You know, my dad, it was funny. If any of you have been around my dad, and back home, people would know this all the time. My dad has these terrible sayings. These back road country sayings that you feel like you have to have an interpreter sometimes to make sure. But somehow they rubbed off on me. And you'll hear me say it even in youth group to the kids. Things like, you can't walk with a skunk and smell like a rose. Good life truth, right? But there's a reality that, and you've heard the saying, right? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. My dad was a good influence on me. If you are looking at the fruit of your life, what kind of tree are you coming off of? If the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, listen to good voices that are going to bear good fruit, because these healthy voices are going to help us point ourselves back to Jesus. To choose Jesus is to choose godly influencers, whether they be preachers, whether they be scripture, whether they be the apostles of Jesus. Choose voices that resemble the spiritual fruits as well as the greatest commandment. And what is that? To love God and love others. If the influences in your life are doing that and pointing you towards that, keep following, because they are a healthy voice in your life. Choose the healthy voice. So we looked at two of the three kingdom choices. First, we looked at the choice of pathways, and then we looked at the choice of voice, where unhealthy voices bear bad fruit and healthy voices bear good fruit. Now we come to the third kingdom choice. That is the choice of obedience. We have two options when it comes to obedience. Option A is obey God. Obey God. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. I want to just sit with that for a moment. Not everyone who claims that Jesus is Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. You see, Jesus is telling us that if there's a choice that you choose, the first option that Jesus gives is to obey God. Because this whole sermon of the Sermon on the Mount has been for us to align ourselves, not just externally, but internally with God. We're looking at whole person obedience, acting from the heart, both internal and the external. Whether it's things like anger, where you might not be angry on the outside, but if you're angry on the inside, there's a way to deal with this. And if you don't deal with it, it's like murdering a brother. Heavy words. But Jesus is trying to get you to see there's a better way to live. There's a whole person reality. He tells you not to lust. He tells you to love people and do things towards people that you would want to be done towards you. We talked about this just last week. You see, there's those who do the will of the Father in heaven, and those are true disciples who have fully aligned themselves with God. But there's something that's sobering here. And I've struggled all week of like trying to figure out how I want to pose this, because there's a level to this that this hits close to home. Because the people who say, Lord, Lord, often show up in church. And so, if obedience to God is the first choice, what's option B? Option B is to obey yourself or to obey self. Listen to this. Many will say, excuse me. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, listen to this, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is a heavy word. That there are people who have chosen to obey self, and even though they're in close proximity to God, it did not mean that they possessed God, that they are one who has chosen to do the will of God. Can I just be real with us for a moment? There's people here that may have been choosing to come to church, do the church thing, and live in church culture that have never decided to put their full faith and do the will of God in their lives. And that's heartbreaking to me. Because we know the end of those people who have decided to do their own will, to be professing Jesus, but yet being internally a false disciple. There's a profession of Christ, and then there's truly possessing Christ. I can profess to have a Michael Jordan rookie card that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. But if I don't possess that, whatever I said here matters for nothing. If I could tell you I've got Apple stock from 1985, 1990, and don't possess it here, I'm a liar. And here's what I want you to see. Many people have been in proximity to Jesus and never fully given their will fully over to him. To say, it reminds me so much of the Burger King commercial, right? There's been people that say, I want it my way. And in this moment, this is God saying, hey, you can have it your way. Or you can look at God and say, have it your way. Whose way are you pursuing? Whose way are you trying to get? Listen, I want you to know that today there's hope. Because I don't know, has anybody ever listened to Stephen Curtis Chapman before? Yeah. If you go back a little bit into the playlist, you might hear a song called The Walk. It says something like, you can run with the big dogs, you can fly with the eagles, you can jump through all the hoops and climb your ladder to the top. But when it all comes down, you know it all comes down to the walk. What is your walk saying about your talk? Because today, for those of us who have chosen to obey Jesus, I want you to know, walk in confidence. For those of you who know Jesus, we get to know that we're doing the will of God. It doesn't mean we are without fault. It does not mean that we have not stumbled along the path, but we have chosen the narrow path to Jesus. We have chosen to listen to voices that are healthy influences in our lives. And we have chosen to obey God over ourselves, because we know that when we obey ourselves, we are at destruction's end when it comes to our life. And we choose quickly to say, no, I'm going to go back to the will of God. Because we know, church, we know, don't we? We know that there's only one way and it is good, and that is Jesus. There's only one way that is good, and that is the kingdom way. It is the kingdom choice. And today, I want you to know, there's some of you that hear this word and you're like, am I really saved? There's a group of you, there's one part of you that says that, and I want you to know, rest in the assurance and the confidence that you have in Jesus. Because let me tell you, is if you've been able to say no to sin and choose the hard path to God, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You can't do that on your own. Continue walking. It's going to be hard. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. Christian, keep walking. Keep choosing the kingdom way. Because it's the only way that leads to life. And you are on it, so keep walking. Now, there's some of you that are here today that you're like, I don't know what path I've been taking. I've been trying to do this church thing. I've been trying to figure this thing out. Let me tell you, Ian, in our staff meetings, he brings up the same analogy over and over again, and it's a good one. He says the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago or today. And church, if there's any among you here today that have not put in your will, full will, and exchanged it for God's will, today is the day that you can begin walking the path to life. Today is the day where you can choose. I am not going to go down the path of destruction. I'm going to shut off unhealthy voices in my life, and I'm going to obey God because I know the end is life.
Yes.
Today, church, that's the choice in front of us. Believers, the choice is to keep walking or turn back. And we know turning back, it looks easy, but it ain't worth it. Unbeliever, if you're here today, I plead with you, choose Jesus today. Let me pray. Father, we know that you are a God that has given us choices, and yet the pathway of true discipleship is one that looks like obeying and choosing you. So God, would you help us to walk in that? Would you help us to grow in that? Would you give us confidence as we walk with you? And God, I just pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that they can just turn their will over to you and say, God, I need you. I'm a sinner. I know that I can't keep walking my own path. Would you forgive me of my sins? I now confess you as Lord over my life, and I exchange my will for your will. And Lord, if there's anybody here that needs to pray that prayer to you, would you move in them right now? Would you cause them to step in to you a little bit more in this moment? Lord, we need you. Continue to develop us in the way of your cross. In Jesus' name. Amen.